Oh, yes. We love you, God. We glorify your name. We just thank you for the privilege to be here with your children. Thank you that your Spirit is here. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working. Thank you that you are touching lives, that you are doing what you do best, changing people. And we just thank you for that. God, so welcome in our midst. We glorify and honor you, and thank you that you speak to us tonight, for we pray it in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's children say, amen, amen. If somebody can just flip on the lights. Guys, I'm going to speak to you tonight on fan the flame. You know what? God has put a fire in every one of his children, and the Holy Spirit is like a fire, and you and I have the responsibility to keep this fire burning, to keep the flames of this fire burning high. This morning, I spoke to the people about finances, and I just want to cut it short. I know we all need finances, so I'm not the bank. God is the bank. Make sure you do it his way. But you know, one of the worst things that can happen to you is when you invest your money in one or other scheme and just to find out at the end that money is worth nothing. You know, we work hard for money. Money is life. You give your power, you give your energy, you give your time, you give your talents, you give your creativity every day for 6 hours, 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. Are you still with me? And for compensation, you receive money. You have given your life to receive money. Money is life. And you know what? To lose your money, we don't like it. You know, when you go to buy something, you know, I like it when I eat the bargain. I like it when there's a bargain. Say, wow, this is fantastic, man. This thing is, you know, it's priced far below its worth. And my wife, she's especially good with that. I think she's got an anointing for that. You know, if you want to see where the bargains is, just go shopping with her. She can stretch rents, man. She's very, very good at that. So guys, we don't want to lose our money. But the Bible says spiritually, the enemy wants to steal from us. If it's your Porsche and it's the alarm, I think there's a key at the back. We can make it silent. So guys, the enemy wants to steal from us. As the world wants to steal your money, as the world wants to get, you know, in charge of your money, the enemy wants to steal from you and me. The Bible says in 2 John 1 verse 8, and I'm reading from the Good News Bible, be on your guard so that you will not lose what we have worked for, but will receive your full reward. The Bible is very clear that we must be on our guard. I spoke to the students on Tuesday night. I was just sharing a few principles on the kingdom of God. And this year at Bible school, we're going to make it very interactive. So we started the first session very, very interactive. And I want to invite you to the next two sessions. Maybe you just want to come and have a look. On Tuesday night, Amanda is speaking on healing the brokenhearted in Afrikaans. So you're welcome to come. And if you're English, just talk to us. We can get you the DVDs, the Shofar Bible School DVDs, so that you can do the Bible school in English. But on Tuesday night, we're speaking on healing the brokenhearted. And I want to invite you. Come, be here, 6:30. God is working. But you know, what I spoke to the students is, you know, when you commit to God, when you say, God, here I am, as we sang this song, God, I'm giving you my all. When you say to God, God, I'm going to give you my finances. God, I want you to bless my finances. I'm going to do it your way. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give offerings. I'm going to give to the poor. You know what? When you do that, the enemy is there to attack you, because the enemy don't like you to do it God's way. And we must be vigilant. That this word says, be on your guard. Because the enemy wants to steal from you. If you say, I'm going to do Bible school, I want to be equipped to be used by God. Have you ever prayed, God, use me? So people like this here. You know what? Then the enemy, he doesn't like you. He wants to attack you. When you pray, let your kingdom come. That's, you know what? That is a prayer of warfare. You're declaring war on the enemy. And the enemy wants to silence you. The enemy wants to take you out. You know what? So we must be very vigilant. And I told the students, you must be prepared on Tuesdays. You must know that the devil wants to silence you. You must know that the devil is going to attack you. Maybe, you know, via your car, you know, via a flat wheel. Car broke down. Something happened at work. Something happening in your family. So when we awake, you know, we must take charge. We must be in control, not let the devil be in control. So the word says, be on your guard. Don't lose what you have worked hard for. Don't lose. You know what? In the spirit, we pray, we read the word. We fellowship with other Christians. We bring out the best in one another. We go to Parel West, Paul East. On the 18th, there is it on the board, the 18th of February. We go to serve those people. You know what? Jesus came and he came to serve. So you know, that is our heart, to help people. And we can get involved. But the enemy is always there. He wants to steal from us. Don't lose what you have worked hard for. Be on your guard so that you will receive your reward in full. Guys, and I just want to, you know, I just want to encourage you tonight, is run with God. Run with God. Don't let the enemy steal from you. He wants to steal from every Christian. You know, he throws temptations at us. You know, he's trying to get us, you know, to become lukewarm. But God says, stay on fire. He says, you know, move forward. Now, I just quickly want to jump to Ephesians 5, verse 10 in the New Living Translation. It says here, carefully, say with me, carefully. You know, it started off with be on your guard. It now says, carefully determine what pleases the Lord. So guys, we must be careful when we walk this road with God. We must be careful if we say, God, we're going to run with you. He says, carefully determines what pleases the Lord. Why does it say something like that? Because, you know, the enemy can bring all kinds of distractions. You know, the enemy can take us away from God. The world can take us away from God. Our love for money can take us away from God. We must not love money. You must use money. And you must use money to bless others. But don't love money. Don't love money. The word says that the love of money, who can help me? It is the root of all evil. You know what? Money blinds you. Money blinds you. You know, and if you just run for money, you are in a danger zone. You are in a land that is filled with landmines. But Paul is speaking to this church, and in verse 15 it says, so be careful how you live. Say with me again, careful. He said, be careful. So guys, we must be careful. If we choose to follow God, we must do it His way. Because the enemy is there to take us out. And then it says, don't. Say with me, don't. He says, don't live like fools. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. God wants us to be wise. He says, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. And to make the most of every opportunity, you and I needs to prepare ourselves. If you are if you are in a job, you know what? You must qualify yourself for opportunities to come. If you work with finances, you know what? Study further in finances. Do courses. Okay? Do courses on management if you are in management. You know, because when you prepare yourself, opportunities will come and you are ready for those opportunities. It goes further. Verse 17. Say with me, don't. Don't act thoughtlessly. He's talking to the church. He's talking to the people of God. He's telling them, guys, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Other translation says, but understand what the will of God is. You know what? And so many people, so many children of God, so many church people who are children of God, when you ask them, what is the will of God for your life? They say, I don't know. Hello? Are you still with me? You know what? Because our minds is not renewed. The Bible says in Romans 12:2 that the spirit of our mind needs to be renewed so that we will know what the will of God is. You know what? We're looking here. Sometimes, you know, so many times, we're looking, you know, what is our circumstances? What is that one doing? What is that one doing? But the Bible says we must look up to Him. When we look up to Him, He is the one that will guide us. And then verse 18, say again with me, don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. So He gave three times, it says, don't. Verse 15, it says, be careful. And then it says, don't. Verse 17, don't. Verse 18, don't. So He says, live carefully. Guys, you and I need to step carefully. Don't be drunk with wine. He says, instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit in the Bible is the symbol that is used many times for the Holy Spirit is fire. God wants us to be on fire for Him. God wants the fire that He has put in our hearts. He wants that fire to burn very strongly. So I've just put a table. You know, just a table there, just to run it down. It says the fool, how does a fool act? A fool is neglectful. You know, it's like, you know, he doesn't care. The fool wastes opportunities. He acts thoughtlessly. He don't understand God's will and usually is intoxicated. And that intoxicated is not just by wine. You know, sometimes we become intoxicated by what the world offers us. You know, we become friends of the world. Okay. And the Bible says if you are a friend of God, if you are a friend of the world, you become an enemy of God. We become intoxicated by selfishness. We only live for ourselves. And sometimes we become intoxicated by money. We've talked about that. Don't love money. Love God. On the other side, the word talks about the wise. He lives carefully. The word says he makes the most of every opportunity. He's prepared. He thinks through every situation. You know, if I'm going to drive too fast, what will happen next? Or what can happen next? Are you still with me? You know, God wants to protect us. The fear of the Lord is to protect you and me. What God says in His word is to protect me and you. If God says love your enemy, it is to protect you. If God says forgive, it is to save you from bitterness. God don't want us to be bitter, because bitterness will ruin your life. But when God says forgive, it is not, you know, in the advantage of the other person. It is to help you to be a better Christian. Okay. The wise, their minds are transformed. They understand what the will of God is. I'm here to live for God. And the wise are filled with the Holy Spirit. The fire is burning in their lives. Quickly, go with me to Romans 12, verse 11. In the Phillips translation. And it says here, let us not allow slackness to spoil our work. Don't be slack. Guys, when we serve, let's serve with the zeal of God. If we serve God, let's serve God with passion in our hearts. And you know, as a pastor, I'm so thankful for the people who serve in this church. You know, the band, they do it with passion. When the small groups are on duty, they do it with passion. If Colossi is leading the intercession, she's doing it with passion. Guys, what do we do? Let's do it with passion. When Ben takes the mic, he does it with passion. So let's run with passion. Passion is contagious. Are you still with me? But you know, if we are slack, you know, it's not contagious. It will not draw people to God. Let's keep the fire in our spirit burning. He says, and let us keep the fires of the spirit burning. Let's be on fire for Jesus. Hey guys, and I want to ask you tonight, how's your fire doing? How's your fire doing? Is that fire still burning strong? Or is it burning just? How is the fire in your life? He says, as we do our work for God. In 2 Timothy 1, verse 6, also the Phillips translation. He says, because you have this faith. He's talking about Timothy. Paul was discipling Timothy. He was preparing him for ministry. He was equipping him for ministry. Timothy was young. He was like Gideon, you know, full of fire, full of zeal. And you know, Timothy discipled him. And Timothy had this one problem. He was young, you know. And he thought because he was young, the people's not going to listen to him. And Paul wrote two letters to Timothy just to encourage him. He says, because you have this faith, I now remind you to stir up that inner fire which God gave you. Paul is speaking. Paul is speaking to Timothy. He says, stir up that inner fire. Stir it up. Other translations say, fan the flame. Hey guys, if there's a fire, I don't know if you've got a fireplace in your house. We've got one. You know, when in winter, when you built a fire in the fireplace, you have to keep that fire burning. Because when you put in the wood, you know, it burns out. Somebody have to look at that fire. And sometimes we all get busy, you know, at night we all get busy. The one is before the computer, the other one is on the phone speaking to grandma, you know, and someone went for a bath, and there's nobody looking after the fireplace. And when we come back, we say, oh no, you know, then the fire is about to go out. And then we quickly had to make a plan, you know, get the wood. And you know what? The thinner the wood are, the more ignitable they are. The drier wood are, the more ignitable they are. And God uses ignitable material. What is ignitable material? It's people who's got the hunger and the thirst for God. It says, God, we long to see you work, God. We trust you to work. We put our faith out so that you will work in our midst. Hey guys, let's keep the fire of the Spirit burning. In Galatians 3, Paul is talking once again to the church. He's not speaking to the guys that's walking in the street. He's not speaking to the guys in the restaurants now. He's speaking to the church, to we that sits here. And he says, oh foolish Galatians, he has authority. He has apostolic authority to speak to the church. He says, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? He says, you are so foolish, having begun in the power of the Spirit, you think that you can now be made perfect, you know, by the flesh. Guys, this thing about following Jesus, this thing about serving God. You know what? When we were saved, it was a work done by the Holy Spirit in us. It is called the regeneration. We were born by the Holy Spirit. We were regenerated by the Holy Spirit. You know what? And Jesus said in John chapter 3, he says, you cannot see the kingdom and you cannot enter the kingdom unless you are born by the Spirit of God. we become new spiritual babies. We become a new man in Christ through the Spirit of God. How do we continue on this road? By the Spirit of God. We need the fire to burn very strong in our lives. Saul, you know, he was the first king. God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint Saul. He went with a shofar. If you don't know how a shofar looks, there is one on the top there. It's like a ram's horn. So Samuel, I don't know how big was the shofar, you know, but he had some oil in the shofar. And God said, I want you to anoint Saul as king. So Saul, Samuel went to Saul. He anointed him. He was a tall man. He was a good-looking man. He stand out from the crowd. And in 1 Samuel 10, Samuel is speaking to Saul. Let me just read this. At that time, the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully upon you. So Samuel was speaking to Saul. There was a group of prophets that came down from the mountain. And Samuel said, if you join them, the Spirit of God will come powerfully upon you, and you also will prophesy with them. He says, the Spirit will work in you. You will start to prophesy, and you will be changed into a different person. Guys, it's only the Holy Spirit that can change us. It is only the Holy Spirit that can work transformation in our lives. Saul was somebody who knew the power of God. Saul had a first-hand experience of the power of God. But unfortunately, in his life, he began to rely on his own know-how. He began to rely on his busy endeavors. He began to rely on his administrative skills more than on the Lord. And guys, what happened with Saul can so easily happen with us here. We start off strong. We run with him. And then, like Saul, we can miss it because we don't trust God anymore. We don't seek him anymore. We don't go to him in weakness and just ask him, God, help me. You know, Saul missed it, unfortunately. And Saul, because he missed God, because he didn't obey God, he lost his kingdom. If you go and read 1 Samuel chapter 50, God helped those people who are weak and who depend on him. I remember long ago, it was my first church service. I went to a Pentecostal church, and I went with this family, and they told me, no, you must just sit there at the back, you know, when it gets too rough, and, you know, you can just run out. I thought, there's no way that I'm going to run out. I'm going to sit here. Anyway, but the pastor was preaching, Pastor Donnie Nell, and I remember he said, you know, he went on house visitation, and he was with this elderly uncle. And this elderly uncle, he was not so, you know, happy with what the young people were doing in the church, you know. And he didn't like it. And so he complained, you know, with the pastor, you know, about the young people. And he said, you know, Pastor, when we were young, we went to that bush where the trees are growing. And you know what? We went there to pray, and we spent many hours there. And God really touched people's hearts. And the pastor was looking at him, and he said, Uncle, I think it's time for you to go back to the trees and pray again. You know what he was saying? There was a time when I was on fire for God. There was a time that the Spirit was strong. The presence of the Spirit was strong in my life. There was a time that the fire was strong in my life. There was a time that I was obedient. There was a time that I sacrificed. There was a time that I put God first. There was a time that church was important for me. But now, I've become lukewarm. Now I'm criticizing others. And guys, it can happen to every one of us. We can lose it. We can lose the presence of God in our lives. And that's why the Bible over and over says, be careful. Be careful. Be on your guard. Because the enemy wants to steal from us. And he wants to steal our full reward. And I just want to encourage you tonight. Run with all your might. Run with everything that you have. In 2 Corinthians 12, Paul is speaking. Paul was a man that knows his weaknesses. He says, where there is weakness, God is speaking to him, my power is shown the more completely. When we acknowledge our weakness, God says, my power is shown the more completely. And guys, you know, sometimes we think we must be strong as Christians. No. He is our strength. We must run to him for strength, because God is our strength. This apostle says, therefore, I have cheerfully made up my mind to be proud of my weaknesses, because I mean a deeper experience of the power of Christ. I can even enjoy weaknesses, suffering, privations, persecutions, and difficulties for Christ's sake, for my very weakness makes me strong in him. God works when we come humbly before him. God works when we say, God, I need you. God, we need you. God, fill me with your power. Fill me with your strength. Fill me with your grace, God. Because God is a just and righteous God. You know what? If God wants you to do something, if I ask my friend here, say your name again.
My name is Jalay.
Jay. Jalay. You know, if I ask Jalay and says, Jalay, you know, run, get me a 2-liter Coke. We're thirsty, man. We'd like some ice cold Coke. Can you buy us? Thank you. Can you buy us, you know, 3 cases of Coke? Will that be enough, Ben? Okay, buy us 10 cases, you know, of Coke. And now Jalay is, you know, he's just, you know, standing around. And I say, Jalay, what's wrong? You know, can't you run? Is there a problem? What does he need to buy the Coke? So I must give him the money. And when I give him the money, he can go. I know, he will run. He will be here, you know, in no time. And you know what? God is a just God. Wayne, God is a just God. If God wants you to do something, he gives you the grace. He gives you the strength. He gives you everything that you need to obey him. He's not unrighteous. He's not a hard God. So if God gives you a command, Eddie, to go and speak to that person, if God works in your heart and says, it's your time to share that word, he gives you the grace. He gives you the strength. It's up to you and me just to do it. Just to flow with him. He's not unrighteous. He gives us what we need. Okay, we talked about Saul. Just one or two things about David, not with a W, but with a V. 1 Samuel 16 tells us about Saul that went to David's farm, or actually to his father's farm. He came there. Saul has lost, you know, the kingdom. The Spirit of God has left Saul, which must be a very, very scary thing. When the Spirit of God leaves you, when the Spirit of God is not in your life anymore. And Saul had experiences with the Holy Spirit. So God said to the prophet, he said, okay, go to Samuel. And there he went with the shofar, and in the shofar is the oil. And he came to the house of Jesse, and Jesse had a lot of sons, and Jesse lined them up. And you know, every time Saul would look at the son, you know this guy's at this six pack, you know, the muscles, you know, they were tall, they were good looking, and you know, Samuel every time thought, this is the guy. And God said, it's not him. So at the end, there was no more sons left. And Samuel asked, you know, is there no more sons left here? Maybe he thought he missed God, you know. They said, oh, there's another one. He's tending his father's sheep. If God is looking for a king, he uses those that tend the father's sheep. Jesus' preparation was in the workshop of his father for ministry. No Harvard University, no Oxford University, not even Stellenbosch. He was trained by serving his father. And David came and Samuel anointed him. The word says, and so as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. The Spirit of God worked powerfully. The empowering of the Spirit became a continuing experience for David. Repeatedly, the hand of God was upon him for accomplishing God's will. Why? Because David would inquire time and again of God. He would ask God, God, what do you want me to do? God, do you want me to run after these enemies? If he don't know what to do, he asked for the linen ephod. You know, it was something that the priest wore. And then he would put it on his shoulders. And then he would pray and say, God, please show me what to do. And God would speak to him. Let me read you this quote. A Christian has every spiritual right to ask for and receive repeated endowments and enabling touches from God. Guys, God wants to empower his people. God wants to empower his people. But can I tell you a little secret? It's for you and me to ask for it. You know, the things of the Spirit, they don't happen automatically. It's for you and me to ask for it. Let's quickly run to Luke 11:13, New Testament. Jesus is speaking. Please go and read Luke, the first 13 verses. Because Jesus is speaking on prayer. And then he says, you know, ask and you will receive. Knock. And it will be open. Seek and you will find. And then he says in verse 13, so if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? I love this. How much more, the Heavenly Father? And you know what? What is the best gift that the Heavenly Father can give to those who seek and pray? Is the Holy Spirit. Guys, we can't receive a better gift than the Holy Spirit. But then we need to ask. Then we need to come in weakness and say, God, we need you. We need you, God. God, we are in desperate need of you. And when we pray like that, God will give us the Holy Spirit. God empowers people that ask. God empowers people that ask. Let me close with this last part, this last two scriptures in 2 Chronicles 24, verse 20. It says, God's Spirit gave Zechariah, son of the priest, strength. Zechariah stood in front of the people and said to them, this is what God says. Why are you breaking the Lord's commands? So Zechariah, he's like a prophet here, and he stood before the people. He says, what is going on in your lives? And guys, let me tell you, when God gives you a word like that, in Afrikaans we say, jou broek bewe. But he says, the Spirit of God gives me the strength. He says, why are you breaking the Lord's commands? You won't prosper that way. If you want God to bless your business, do it God's way. No transactions underneath the table. If you want God to bless your family, do it God's way. If you want God to bless your marriage, do it God's way. The Lord has abandoned you because you have abandoned Him. You see, the Spirit of God empowers us to do God's will. In 1 Chronicles 12, David was fleeing for Saul. Saul wanted to kill him. David was now enemy number one of Saul. And Saul sent out his soldiers. Saul sent out his brave men, to capture David, to kill him. So Saul was living in the mountains. And while he was hiding, while David was hiding, all the time he was honoring Saul as the Lord's anointed. One time he had the opportunity to kill Saul. And he said, no, Saul is the Lord's anointed. I'm not going to kill him. I'm not going to touch him. And guys, let me just say, if you want to protect yourself, don't speak of leaders. Don't become part of their gossip. Don't lend your ears when others want to speak. Tell them, come, let's go to the pastor. Let's sort this thing out. Let's go to the cell leader. Let's sort this thing out. But don't tolerate gossip. Gossip won't work unity. Are you still with me? It will break down a church. You know what? So many times I've heard what the Satanists do when they want to destroy a church. They come, they infiltrate a church. And what they do, they start with slander and gossip. Yeah, the pastor this, the pastor that, the way he looks at the girls, the way he touches the girls, and then they start stories. Oh, the way he handles the church finances, we think he lives with his hand in the, in the money pocket. Guys, beware of that. Let's work towards unity. You know what? The Spirit of the Lord left Saul. And David said, he is the Lord's anointed. He didn't touch him. That's why David became one of the most mightiest king. The Bible said he was a man after God's own heart. So this one day, there was a group of people, 30 people, they wanted to join David. And David, the excellent leader that he was, he went out to meet them and he said, if you have come in peace to help me, we are friends. But if you have come to betray me to my enemies when I am innocent, then may the God of our ancestors see it and punish you. So David went out. And, it looks like David is very unspiritual. He's not saying, if you come to worship God, please join us. Are you with me? He said, if you want to join our army, you're welcome. He says, are you for me? You know what? He's cutting this thing to the bone. Because David knows if there is unity, God commands a blessing where there's unity. And that's the prophetic theme for this year at the back, being one. We need unity. And the Spirit of God works unity. So David is challenging this 30 people. Where do you stand? Where do you stand concerning me? And then the word says, verse 18, then the Spirit came upon Amasai. The Holy Spirit came upon Amasya, the leader of the 30, and he said, we are yours, David. We are on your side, son of Jesse. Peace and prosperity be with you, and success to all who help you. For your God is the one who helps you. You know what? It wasn't just a fleshly answer. It was the Spirit of God that came upon Amasya, and it finishes off, so David let them join him And he made them officers over his troops. Only the Spirit of God can work unity in a church. Guys, let's be vigilant. Let's be careful. You know what? The enemy wants to destroy what God is doing. You know what? And like I said, he uses slander, he uses gossip. You know, he uses any method to kill what God is doing. And let's be on the guard. You know what? The enemy wants to steal what the Spirit of God has worked in you. He wants to steal the fire. You know what? So many times we had these fantastic experiences with God. And then what happens? The fire, you know, dwindles down. There's no more fire. You know, and then comes along a guy and he's full of the zeal of God. And he says, yes, we must win people for the Lord. We must bring Uncle Angus here to the pall, you know. And he's on fire for God. And then we have to mock him so that our backslidden stage is, you know, not that obvious. Are you still with me? That's usually what happens to somebody who's on fire for God. The other Christians, because they're not on fire, you know, they have to speak bad about this guy so that they don't look that bad. Let's be not like that. Let's be on fire for God. I'm going to ask the media guys to put on a video. It blessed me so much, and I hope it will bless you. Can you guys put off the lights, please?
I had a crisis event happen to me in our previous facility on an Easter Sunday when I preached for the third time that day. Was bone tired. Bone tired. Poured out myself. The singers, choir had done a cantata and people had come to Christ, and I prayed and I got through with the meeting. The other building had a platform with no steps. So it was my habit to just sit like this and let my feet dangle down on the edge of the platform. And I was like, right, it was just about this same angle with the middle aisle. And I'm just saying, so tired. I remember taking my knot on my tie and loosening it and saying, you know what, I'm just going to chill. And Carol was playing just like Jamal's playing now, exactly. People praying, workers, deacons helping. And I was tired and I want to go home. I hadn't eaten all day. And then I look and around the 5th row, there's a guy in the aisle around level with the 5th row. He had a cap, filthy cap, but he had it in his hand. And he was staring at me and looking at me. And I could tell by his eyes, like he wanted to know, could he come up here and talk to me? And I just looked at him a little closer. Man, the guy was disheveled, filthy looking, matted hair, a mess. He looked in his 50s. He actually was 31. And I just looked at him. And I thought, because Everton, Julia, they remember back in that building, we had a lot of people panhandling in the church. They would come in, ask for money, and we had procedures of what to do when people ask for money. So we don't want to build their habit and hand them money. They'll just go out and drink it. And I thought to myself, what a bummer, because I'm going to have to give money. I'm not even going to go through the procedures. I'm going to just give this guy some money. I had no wallet then. I had a money clip. So I waved him up and he came. So I'm here. He got to about 5-6 feet away from me. Whoa, 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 whoa. Smell? No, a smell? You think you smell something? I'll match that smell with anything you've ever smelled in your life. A mixture of feces, urine, sweat, street, and alcohol. Stir gently and let it cook for a while, and that's what I smell. Nasty. I looked away to inhale, and I started to question, what's your name, David? Okay, I'm a minister. Let me go through at least the procedures here. So, man, you look bad. I didn't know he was laying in his own urine right outside the side door on Park Place in that building. And he heard the music and it drew him in. He was just sprawled laying out there. So he's there. Oh, Lord. Where'd you sleep last night? Deserted truck. How come you're not in a shelter? Too dangerous. Almost got killed last one I was in. Okay. Man, this guy smells bad. Missing one or two teeth. At least one right in the front. Let me give him $5, something. Not the way I wanted to end the day, but, you know, what can you do? Took out the money. I remember handing it. He pushed it down. He said, I don't want your money. I want this Jesus you are talking about. And at that moment, I forgot all about David, because I knew who was really in need of prayer. It was Jim Cimbala. It wasn't David. So I forgot him. I lifted my hands, like I'm going to ask you to do in a moment. And I just said, God, please forgive me. What have I become? What kind of cheap two-bit preacher have I become? You sent somebody who's searching for you. And I want to give them a few dollars and get rid of them. Please help me. And God, that moment, baptized me with a love, with something, with grace. He saw how pitiful I was. And David knew it. And he drew close to me. And I started to cry. And he started to cry. And then he fell against me. And he put his head over here. And I put my arms around him. And he put his arms around me. And for a while, we just rocked back and forth. A preacher in need of God. A guy from the street in need of God. I'm not sure who was needy, or might have been me. You know what God spoke to me that moment? And this is not trendy at all. Those of you who want to go to like church growth institutes, this is not what this church is about. God spoke to me and said, you see that smell? If you don't love that smell, I can never use you. Because the whole world smells that way to me. All the stinking, filthy sin of mankind. I sent my son to die for that smell. So you're either going to embrace it and love people in my name, or I can't use you. I'll put you on the shelf. And if God is my witness, you can believe it or not, suddenly that smell became like the most beautiful lady's perfume you ever smelled in your life. It was just overwhelmed me. He was weeping. I was weeping. I led him to Christ. We prayed. We detoxed him for 4 or 5 days. Hired him on church staff, housekeeping. He spent Thanksgiving and Christmas at my house that year. My buddy got his teeth fixed. Handsome guy. For that Christmas, all he had, he gave me a handkerchief. He wrapped it up in wrapping paper, gave me a white handkerchief. I kept it for years. It meant more to me than anything anyone could give me. You could have bought me a car. I would have said, keep your car. Give me that handkerchief. And what broke him and what broke me is God's love. Brothers and sisters, let's walk in love this year. Let's think about other people. Let's love other people. If they're different than us, think different than us, look different than us, smell different than us, I didn't grow up around that smell. I was blessed, fortunate, middle class Polish, Ukrainian, middle class home. That wasn't my world. But it's God's world. And he wants to use all of us.